Do you want to earn a higher rate of return than you're making in the stock market? I'm talking about beating the market year after year. Hi, I'm Greg Herlihan. If you want to make more tax-free income, call me today at 888-738-1764. I specialize in helping people make more tax-free income with an IRA-approved retirement vehicle. And best of all, it's approved by the IRS. So what are you waiting on? Call me at 888-738-1764. And take control of your financial future with tax-free income. Call me at 888-738-1764. The consultation is absolutely free, so call me at 888-738-1764.
Horizon Trust Company is an independent passive custodian and is not associated or affiliated with and does not recommend, promote, or advise any specific investment opportunity, investment company, or any agents, employees, representatives, or other of such firms or entities. Investments are not FDIC insured, offer no bank guarantee, and may lose value.
Take control of your financial future. Call 888-738-1764.
Washington, D.C. It got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out.
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four, hang out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's live and local now for a Wednesday. That means Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach, will join us in just a minute. But I've got a quick shout out to a friend of ours who is really a cool girl. She really honestly is. Aspen Brigida, who is the daughter of Tracy Brigida, who's one of the associate producers for this show. And in just a little while, Aspen's going to have her tonsils taken out. And she's a little apprehensive. But I got a quick story, and then I promise I will not bore you with it again. But I had my tonsils taken out at about age 7 or 8. I forget. What, it was somewhere like that. And we made it really a fun deal because I got to have my tonsils taken out and share a room with my cousin, Mary Elizabeth. And so we had cousins in the same recovery room. And I will tell you, it doesn't hurt. Doesn't hurt. And one of the great things about getting your tonsils out means you won't have to do it when you're an adult. And then it's like really, really, really difficult. But it's a piece of cake. And I'll just tell you, Aspen, I'm like the worst patient in the history of patients. I'm not a very good patient. But it was a piece of cake. And the great thing is, at the end of the procedure, when they wake you up, and all of a sudden you're there, they let you have ice cream. Or something like that. At least they did for me. I don't know. Times have changed, and maybe they do things differently now. But one of the things is, as soon as you woke up, and you say, they said, hey, here, have some ice cream. And we got to eat ice cream all day. It was very cool. But Aspen, you're going to do great. And if your mom holds up okay, that's your mom's the one I worry about. You, I don't worry about, because you're a tough little girl. Anyway, Aspen Brigida, everybody, positive thoughts to Aspen Brigida getting her tonsils taken out. Well, you know what Wednesday is? Wednesday is hump day. And that means we talk with my buddy, my pal, Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach, and he joins us. Chuck, I'll bet you it's been a while since you had your tonsils out.
Yeah, we couldn't afford ice cream, though. I had to eat Jell-O.
Oh, no! Well, maybe times have changed. Let's hope times have changed. Hey, can I ask you about this stupid Roseanne thing? Why is it that it's always conservatives that send out stupid tweets? I mean, don't Democrats send out stupid tweets?
Well, they do. This one was colossally stupid, and shows just a total. I mean, she's just completely unconscious of the circumstances surrounding race in this country to this day. It was just really, really stupid. And you know who I feel worse for is all of the people who worked on that show. This show was a hit. It was going to continue being a hit. Her fellow actors and actresses on the show who are now out of work, who were going to be probably making an awful lot of money with the show being as successful as it was. And I just feel really badly that they've all lost their income and their jobs because of this one stupid 53-character tweet.
Well, and this is a series that was not going to get less popular. And I agree with you, but more than just John Goodman and the other actors, I think of the stagehands and the camera people and the writers and folks like that they're going to have to wait for the next, really good pilot, and it may not get picked up, and they may be on the shelf for a while. And this is a show that, as I say, was not going to get worse, and all you need is 6 years. They usually keep a series around 6-7 years, and then they can syndicate it. This certainly would have gone 6 years. It's just sad.
You would think this is going to remain popular and relevant throughout the entire Trump presidency, which if we had our way, it's going to stretch into a full 8 years, two terms rather than just a 1 year. I know the Democrats are thinking and hoping otherwise, but if the economy continues the way it is, if we continue to destroy the terrorists who are out to destroy us, I think that Donald Trump is in a great position to win a second term.
Hey Chuck, let me ask you though, and I'm curious about this. This whole notion that this is somehow Trump's fault, that Trump's behavior has given license to people like Roseanne to send out racist tweets, how do you answer the critics? And the Democrats are all over this thing. Oh, it's Trump's fault. Roseanne shouldn't have done it, but it's Trump's fault.
Yeah, it's absurd, but it's part of the Trump derangement syndrome that so many on the left continue to suffer from. It's been said that they've accused this man of everything but sinking the Titanic. And, if that issue ever came forward again, somehow they try to find a way to tie him to that tragedy as well. It's just a shame, but that's just the nature of the beast that we live in this day and age. Hillary Clinton and many on the left just cannot get over the fact that they blew it and they lost this election to Donald Trump in 2016, and they're never going to let it go.
Want to ask you about elections. We are now into early voting period. Have you noticed any numbers out there? Is voting heavy, soft, medium? What?
As expected, my best friend in politics, Dan Burdish, who has been working for, been in politics 30 years, I guess, and he's just a number cruncher, unlike me. I mean, he knows how to really look into these figures and assess what's going on. And he sent me an email yesterday and said that early voting is up among Democrats in 2018, this election cycle, over what it was in 2014, which was the last election cycle with a non-presidential year. So you want to compare apples to apples. So it's up slightly for Democrats, which is expected because they've got a very hotly contested gubernatorial race between Steve Sisolak and Christian Kiliani. So that's not completely unexpected. But what he did say is that there's also an uptick in Republican turnout in early voting in the first weekend, which may be surprising to a lot of people since there isn't a top of the ticket. There's no real competitive Republican primary for governor or U.S. Senate. But there is an uptick in turnout, which could indicate that the Trump camp has successfully motivated its base to turn out and vote in this off-year election.
I want to ask you, who does it help? Does it help Danny Tarkanian? Does it help some of the other folks in that CD3 race?
If the increased turnout among Republicans is in fact due, at least in part, to Trump voters showing up at the polls and voting. That absolutely will help candidates who are most closely aligned with Donald Trump, including Danny Tarkanian. And just in the interest of disclaimer, I am a paid advisor to the Tarkanian campaign. But having the White House backing of Danny Tarkanian, if it's Trump voters who are coming out to vote early in the primary, that absolutely plays into his hands.
I want to ask you about another one of your candidates, Dennis Hoff, running for assembly in District 36. I have been amazed at how Republican leaders all across the state are trashing. I mean viciously, James Oskarson, and that's got to be good news for Dennis Hoff. But I've never seen party officials go off on an incumbent like this. What's going on in 36?
Well, I think part of it is just the nature of the race itself. This has been a very hotly contested race between these two men ever since 2016, when Hoff first challenged Assemblyman Oskarson, primarily over his tax vote. The vote in 2015, where Assemblyman Oskarson went back on his word and voted for the largest tax increase in history. And Hoff has been pounding him on that vote ever since. And it's gotten very, very nasty. Now, Mr. Hoff owns 7 legal brothels in Nevada. As you can imagine, the adult material that Oskarson, who doesn't have anything else, is using against him. There's wild accusations and allegations out there from disgruntled former employees. And it's just gotten really, really nasty. Unfortunately, a lot of what Assemblyman Oskarson has accused Mr. Hoff of is just simply not true. And I think that's why you're seeing some party leaders, including State Chairman Michael McDonald, coming out, and although not endorsing Dennis Hoff, simply coming forward and saying the allegations being made against this man are false. And I'm happy that he, took the he had the backbone to stand up and say this is wrong and clear the record and make sure that people have accurate information before they walk into the voting booth.
But it's not just the party chairman that's doing this. I mean, it's Michelle Fiore, it's George Harris. I mean, there's a ton of people that I consider leaders in the conservative movement and the Republican Party who are going after Oskarson. Did this happen with other folks that voted for that largest tax increase in the history of our state?
Not to this extent, and I think a lot of it has to do also with not only Assemblyman Oskarson's votes, but just his overall demeanor and his personality in the way that he deals with people in Carson City. In that 2015 legislative session, as you remember, Kevin, the Assembly was split almost 50-50 in half, with half of the Assembly caucus voting against the tax hike and the other half of the Republicans voting for the tax hike. And so things got really nasty and heated in caucus meetings and even on the floor of the Assembly at times. And I think it's instructive to recognize that people who actually served with Assemblyman Oskarson are coming forward and relating their experiences with the man. I mean, this isn't anonymous third-party sources. These are people who were elected, who served with him in the legislature, who are coming forward and saying that the accusations being made against Mr. Hoff are false, and that the accusations being made against Mr. Oskarson are true. And I think it really does have to do with a lot of lingering bitterness among conservatives who felt sold out by Republicans like Oskarson who voted for that tax increase.
You're working that campaign. How many votes in that district will it take to advance? Do you have a feel for that?
Yeah, if turnout is similar to 2014's primary turnout, the estimate is that the winner is probably going to need about 2,500 votes. It's anticipated that about 5,000 people will vote in the primary in this particular race, in this particular election cycle. So 2,500 plus should put the winner over the top.
Wow. I want to ask you about a release I got yesterday from the Dean Heller for Senate campaign. And it begins like this. Nevadans hoping to catch a glimpse of Congresswoman Jackie Rosen on the campaign trail will have to come to Las Vegas. Rosen has skipped events in rural Nevada, Jim Butler Days in Tonopah this last weekend, the Armed Forces Day Parade in Hawthorne, just to name a few. She has no-showed the state's biggest Nevada Day celebration in Carson City. Are we have to put this lady's a picture on a milk carton? I mean, she seems to be missing in action.
Well, that is true. However, if you look at how the state is divided politically, it's not surprising, and it probably is. You would even consider it a smart move on her part. The fact of the matter is that Clark County, where you and I are and your listeners primarily in the Las Vegas area, there's a big Democrat majority advantage for her. In the rurals, there is a big conservative Republican majority advantage for Republicans, such as Dean Heller. And the odds of Jackie Rosen making any serious dents in that electorate in this state are very, very small. I mean, historically, you look at it, and Democrats just do not do well in rural Nevada. Where she probably needs to spend more of her time, again, politically, is in Washoe County, which has been traditionally, over at least the last decade, it's been where a lot of these statewide elections have been won and lost. It can go either way. It can go Republican. It can go Democrat. And it has gone both ways. So I don't think it's surprising that she's not in the rural counties. I think the rural voters recognize that, understand that, and they're going to vote for the Republican anyway.
I want to ask you about judges, because judges, I think, confound a lot of voters. They don't know that much about them. They don't do that much advertising. They don't go walking door to door and knock on your door and talk to you. But this one race that I think is going to be interesting, Justice Michael Cherry stepping down, and you've got Alyssa Kadish there. You got Jerry Tao. You've got Alan Lefevre. You've got Leon Abastury, John Rutledge. Do you know much about any of these? And how are we supposed to know? They're supposedly nonpartisan, but I know Jerry Tao's a Democrat and Kadish is a Democrat. Do you know much about these candidates?
Well, I do know that Tao changed his registration from Democrat to Independent. I'm not sure exactly when. I believe it was a few months ago, before filing actually opened for the seat. I do know that Kadish is not only known as a Democrat, but is considered a very liberal Democrat, an activist judge. As I recall, she was up for a federal judgeship some years ago, and Senator Dean Heller put a hold on the nomination because she was considered to be hostile to gun rights. And so she never got confirmed for that federal judgeship. The way the system is set up, because there's multiple candidates in this race, if none of the candidates get over 50% of the vote in the primary on June 12th, then the top two will go to the general election. And it is generally considered that, the political consensus is that Jerry Tao would be the most conservative, constitutionalist, strict constructionist judge to run against Ms. Kadish in the general election. But that's not to say, as you said, Kevin, no one really knows much about any of these judicial races. And in a multiple candidate race like this, anyone could come in second. And it's even possible that Ms. Kadish could actually win this outright on June 12th.
We will see what happens. If folks want to know more about what you're up to, where do they go?
Go to NevadaNewsAndViews.com and sign up for our free email newsletter.
Sounds good to me. Chuck, we'll talk again next week. Thanks, man.
Always a pleasure. Take care, Kevin.
That's Chuck Booth, the president of Citizen Outreach, joining us. We're going to take a quick break. More to come as we continue. Oh, the president was in Nashville last night. And, man, what a speech. Oh, it was a great rally. I watched a bunch of it. Stick around. More to do as we continue live and local now.
In 1776, men and women said no to the swamp and chose independence. Schwartz won't take their money. He believes in you, the voters, not billionaires and their lobbyists.
Paid for by friends of Dan Schwartz.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. Look, folks, there's a lot more on the ballot than just governor, senator, and congressman. You need to focus on who we elect as judges. That's the place where we're losing our country. In Nevada, the elites haven't taken our rights away to pick our own judges yet. Please check out Nevada Supreme Court election for open seat C on the June 12th primary ballot. This is the first time in a decade that Nevada voters have a chance to pick a justice for the highest court in Nevada for themselves. Check out Alan Lefevre. The courts can be the last line of defense when government overreaches and chips away at our rights. Alan Lefevre is the correct choice if you believe in personal and economic freedom. Alan fled California because it was already a nanny state 30 years ago. He will not let Nevada go the way of California. Alan Lefevre believes, like our state's founding fathers, that Nevadans are a free people entitled to a limited government. Vote for Alan Lefevre. Go to Alan4NSCCC.com. That's Alan, the number 4, NSC for Nevada Supreme Court, CC.com. Alan Lefevre to keep Nevada, Nevada, not California. Alan Lefevre.
Paid for by Lefevre for Nevada Supreme Court Justice, CC.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Keeping us safe. That's the job of Nevada's next attorney general. The conservative choice, Wes Duncan. Duncan served in Iraq, where he helped prosecute terrorists in Baghdad, and still serves his country today as a JAG officer in the Air Force Reserves. Duncan was a criminal prosecutor and first assistant attorney general for Adam Laxalt. The choice of law enforcement. Sheriffs and district attorneys across Nevada have endorsed Wes Duncan. Attorney General Laxalt endorsed Wes Duncan because he will fight for our constitutional rights and keep our communities safe.
I'm Wes Duncan. Iraq was a defining moment in my life. The country was extremely dangerous. The rule of law had completely broken down. It made me realize if you don't have safety and security, nothing else matters. I'm running for Attorney General to make Nevada the safest place to raise a family.
Fighting for a safer Nevada. Republican Wes Duncan for Attorney General.
Paid for and authorized by the committee to elect Wes Duncan.
This is David Gibbs, 25-year Air Force veteran and Republican candidate for U.S. Congress in District 4. I'm a proud supporter of President Trump and his America First agenda. We've seen great improvements in our economy and many successes overseas. You need a congressman who will work with our president to keep us going in the right direction. I will be that congressman who focuses solely on you as we work to keep America great. Please vote in the primary election, and when you do, vote for me, David Gibbs, to be your next congressman in District 4. Paid for by David Gibbs for Nevada.
They got Tesla, we got Faraday. We need a governor who will create high-tech, high-paid jobs and build schools that will educate our kids, not a $2 billion taxpayer-funded stadium. I get it.
Paid for by friends of Dan Schwartz.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Coming up on the show, the president spoke last night in Nashville, Tennessee. It was a rally speech, and man, it was raucous. And by the way, people stood for 8 hours, much of it in the rain, to get in line to see the president of the United States. Don't tell me people are running away from this president. They're not. We'll talk about that. Don't forget, Amy Tarkanian, former chair of the Republican Party in Nevada, will join us. That's all coming up top of the hour as we continue live and local now.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It is live and local now. Now, one thing that just drives me nuts is this whole notion that this is all about, you know, regardless of whether it was Ambien oriented or not. But Democrats are trying to paint this as because of the way the president is, It is spawning racist tweets like Roseanne's. And the president is inciting an online riot, essentially. And the fact is, that's simply not true. She's been doing this since long before 2015 when the president announced his candidacy. You just cannot tell me that Roseanne is being inspired in some way by the president. It's just not right. Let's go to Frank. Frank, you're up and you're on Live and Local now. Go right ahead.
Three real quick things, Kevin. My 16-year-old dog, who outlived his life expectancy by 2 years, died yesterday. It's Trump's fault. It's all Trump's fault.
There you go.
Also, real quickly, do you see, and it's the body parts, Colin Kaepernick having any shot of having any standing with his collusion case against the NFL?
No.
Okay, I just wanted to...
Nope. Don't see it. Don't see it happening. And by the way, I thought you were going to ask, do I see any way that he's going to get back into the league? He's been out of the league for, 2 years now? I mean, the guy's done. The guy's toast. There are other new young phenoms coming up. And to be honest, there just is not room for Colin Kaepernick.
It's time for Nevada Voices.
There's been a lot of talk about who will control the House of Representatives after this election. Will it be the Democrats or will it be the Republicans? As with every election, you, the voters, get to decide that, not the talking heads in the media. This year, there are very distinct differences between the two sides. The Democrats have already said they will raise our taxes. They want to take away our guns. They want free health care for all, free college for all, and more Washington control over our lives. Free? Who really pays for all that? Republicans want you to have control over your health care, not a government bureaucrat. Republicans want you to decide how to save and spend your hard-earned income, not send more of it to Washington. Republicans will protect your individual rights, and that especially includes your Second Amendment right to bear arms. You need a Republican whose sole focus is on your interests, not Washington's big government. Someone who will fight the hard fight against the left-wing liberal that Democrats will nominate in District 4. You need someone who will support President Trump and his America First agenda, not spend all their time crying for impeachment and yelling Russia, Russia, Russia. I will be that Republican who stands with you, not for the special interests. I will be that Republican who stands with our president and doesn't run for the hills as the media attacks him again and again. Check out my website at Gibbs4Nevada.com. My name is David Gibbs, candidate for U.S. Congress in District 4, and I ask for your vote on June 12th. Together, we can defeat the Democrats and turn District 4 from blue to red. Paid for by David Gibbs for Nevada.
I promised I would let you hear from the president, and I will. One of the things he did, which I thought, and I think he's got to do this, because people have very short memories sometimes. But this is a president who time and time again has delivered on promises. And the number one thing is he's produced results.
You know, people are saying that we made certain promises, and I'm the only politician. Can you imagine the word politician? I never thought that was going to happen. I don't even like it. But I'm the only politician that produced more than I said I was going to produce, and we're only 1.5 years in.
I love that. I love that. Now, one of the things that raised some eyebrows in the speech last night in Nashville, the president detailed kind of a what I call a wall update or a wall-to-wall update. And listen closely, because he mentioned 700 miles of border wall. Which for some is like way short of what they think we need. Here's the president last night in Nashville.
And in San Diego, they came to us. They wanted the wall in California. And you heard this story. I said, don't give it to them because we lose a lot of energy. They wanted it so badly. They got tired of illegal immigrants walking across their front lawn. Can you understand that? Isn't that Isn't that terrible that they got tired? Why shouldn't they have people walking through their living room? Why? So they wanted the wall. So I said, nah, let's wait. Then they said, go ahead and build it. We got a good price. So we started to build it. Then I had second thoughts because the governor of California, who loves sanctuary cities, and other things. So he didn't want wall. But they were putting so much pressure, so I decided to do it. Then, in the middle of doing it, it's beautiful, it's big, nobody's crossing it very easily. Not one of those that you can just scoot to the top. This is a real wall. So what happened is, in the middle, I sort of had second thoughts. You ever have second thoughts about something? I said, you know, let's stop building the wall because we get more pressure put on this crazy governor, where the taxes are high and the crime is high. Other than that, he's doing a fantastic job, okay? In California, I have property in California that I don't care about anymore. You know, when you do this job, there's only one thing that matters. That's getting it done properly. It doesn't matter. Getting it done. Who cares? Who cares? You have property. Big deal. So I said, let's stop building the wall. I said, how much would it cost? Because I know too much about contractors. I think half the room is contractors. Look at these people. I can tell a contractor. I can smell a contractor, believe it or not. Got a lot of contractors in this room. So I said, find out how much it would cost to stop. And one of the generals said, sir, it wouldn't cost anything to stop. I said, really? Find out. Well, he came and he said, it's $7 million to stop. I said, all right, keep building it, okay? I'm not going to stop it for that, right? We got to get it done. So we're doing the wall. We started the wall. But we need about 700 miles of wall. It's 2,000 miles. We need about 700 miles of wall. We're getting it. We have a lot of natural barriers that are better than any wall you could build.
So he's making the case that maybe 700 miles is what we should have. And by the way, I'm fine with that. If after talking with Homeland Security and the generals and ICE and Border Patrol, and if they say 700 miles, then that's fine. I got no problem with that. One thing I do have a problem with, though, and we'll get to more on the president's speech coming up a little bit later on in the half hour. This whole notion that somehow the president bears some responsibility for Roseanne Barr's racist tweets. And I must tell you, I'm not a big Roseanne fan. I don't think I watched her original show that much. I have not watched a minute of the new show. Although friends tell me it's pretty good. It is funny. It is topical. And that's a good thing. But this notion that somehow the president bears some responsibility for what Roseanne Barr did, she's been doing this for decades. This kind of, racist communication. I mean, she's been doing this forever. Long before Donald J. Trump became president. And long before he even ran for president. So don't blame this one on President Trump. There may be some things you can blame on President Trump. The weekend tweet where he quickly pivoted from mourning our fallen heroes on Memorial Day to what a great job he's doing as president, that was a stupid tweet. Sorry, it was. It was truthful, but it was in bad taste. I mean, it was kind of tone deaf. But he's done that before. So nobody should be surprised. We're going to take a quick break. More coming up. You'll hear from the president. And one of the things that he talked a lot about last night, and that is catch and release. What we do at the border, we catch illegals coming across our border, and then we give them a notice to appear, and 90-plus percent never appear. So it's really a notice to disappear. It's called catch and release. And it seems to be what we're doing along our southern border. He says that is going to stop. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is Wednesday. It's hump day. It is live and local now.
Hi, I'm Jim Small, and I'm running for State Assembly in District 2. I grew up instilled with the values of hard work, giving back to the community, and spending money wisely. District 2 wants a representative in Carson City that will fight high taxes and regulations that hurt businesses and the livelihood of everyday Nevadans. I have carried those values all of my life, and I have the necessary experience to do the job. My name is Jim Small, and I'm running to be your assemblyman in District 2. Remember, think big, vote small. Paid for by Jim for Nevada.
A plan to fund Social Security for the next 80 years and increase benefits. To ramp up education, make schools safer, and protect our Second Amendment rights. To bring new industries to Nevada. I'm Bill Townsend, an entrepreneur who has created over 4,000 jobs by looking at the root causes of problems and creating solutions. With your vote, I'll bring these skills to Congress in CD4. Visit townsendfornevada.com to learn what I plan to do on your behalf. I'm Bill Townsend, and I approve this message, paid for by the Townsend Campaign.
This is Danny Tarkanian, your conservative candidate for Congress, asking you to join President Trump and Adam Laxalt in supporting me for Congress. I'm a principled conservative who isn't beholden to special interests on either side of the aisle. That's why insiders from both parties falsely attack and defame me. They know I'll upend the status quo, and that starts with passing congressional term limits. The president and Nevada legislators have term limits. So should the politicians in D.C. I'll stand with President Trump and fight for a secure border. And I'll stand with Adam Laxalt to give Nevadans more choice in their schools' education. I'll be a leader on repealing Obamacare. And I'll fight all tax increases. Because raising taxes isn't how we balance the budget. It's how liberals will bankrupt hardworking Americans. I'm Danny Tarkanian, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message because Congress needs real reform, now. Paid for by Tarkanian for Congress.
Hi, this is Wayne Allen Root. As all of you know, I know a good conservative when I see one. Well, I've got a great one for you. I'm all in for former Assemblyman Brent Jones for Nevada Lieutenant Governor. I've known Brent for many years. He's a good businessman, but more importantly, he votes right every time. He stands up to the corrupt swamp creatures and votes to reduce taxes and provide school choice. He even brought a bill to remove Common Core from our state. He wants government to keep their hands off our guns. And he was the first elected official I'm aware of to publicly endorse Donald Trump for president. That took courage. We need guys like Brent if we're going to prevent our great state from becoming Sanctuary California East. Don't let the swamp take over Nevada. Please help Brent with a small donation of as little as $5. Text hashtag vote Brent to 53445. That's hashtag vote Brent to 53445. This election is so important for Nevada's future. Help take Nevada back. Help my great friend Brent Jones win for lieutenant governor. Go to votebrentjones.com. That's votebrentjones.com.
Paid for by Vote Brent Jones.
My name is Dustin Coney. I'm the owner of Mr. Coney's Barbershop, and I'm a proud client of City National Bank. My grandfather was a barber, grew up in his shop, sweeping the floors. Being a barber is more than just somebody that's cutting hair. You are a friend, you're a brother, you're a neighbor, and that's what inspired me to get into it. I was referred to City National by Gina McAllister. She is somebody that I trust with my entire business.
When Dustin came to me as a new business owner, I knew referring him to City National Bank would be a good idea because I knew they would take care of him.
It was important to be with people that I know care about me and my success and offer products and services that will help my business reach its long-term goals. I see Mr. Coney's being in every city in the United States of America. I see products, I see hair salons, I see everything. And I know as my business grows, my relationship with City National will grow.
The people you trust City National. Visit CNB.com to learn more. City National Bank, an RBC company. CNB, member FDIC.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It is live and local now. Good to have you with us. 844, the number 2, Nevada. It's 844-263-8232. And I want to ask you, because I think you are abundantly fair. And the question ultimately comes down to is, Is President Trump to blame for Roseanne's racist tweets? I don't think so. But the folks on the left are trying to make the case that because of the president's kind of shoot-from-the-hip approach to government, that suddenly we pin this on the president. I think the president does some stupid tweeting, okay? But he's not responsible for what Roseanne Barr does under the influences of Ambien or not. Boy, just imagine if the president started Ambien tweeting. And he doesn't drink or smoke, so we don't have to worry about him doing a drunk tweet. But can you imagine how bizarre it would be if the president started Ambien tweeting? And I know the people at Ambien say, no. Racist tweeting is not a side effect. The president was in Nashville yesterday. And last night spoke at a rally, big rally, huge rally. He talked about the wall. Talked about catch and release. Democrat obstruction. Oh. And he included that Mexico will pay for the wall. And this is when he gets interesting. The president talking about the wall and that Mexico will pay for it.
But we need border wall. We got to have a change in our laws. Our laws are the worst laws of any country anywhere in the world. Catch and release. Did you ever hear? You catch, you take their name, and you release. Oh, great. Wonderful. Then they're supposed to show up to a court. There's only one problem. They never show up. So we're working on it. We're having a real problem. The Democrats want to use it as a campaign issue. And I keep saying, I hope they do. The fact is, the Democrats are lousy politicians. They're lousy on policy. I happen to think them allowing open borders, which we don't allow anyway, but they make it very difficult. But them allowing open borders, that's a good issue for us, not for them. But the one thing they do is they stick together. It's always like 48, 49. Nobody leaves in the Senate. They stick together. They always vote like 100%. Okay? So we need more Republicans. We're going to get them. We're going to get the wall done anyway. Mexico, I don't want to cause a problem. But in the end, Mexico's going to pay for the wall. I'm just telling you. All right? I don't want to cause any problem. But in the end, Mexico's paying for the wall. They make all of this money, and they do absolutely nothing to stop people from going through Mexico, from Honduras and all these other countries, the caravan, all of this stuff. They do nothing to help us. Nothing. They're going to pay for the wall, and they're going to enjoy it, okay? They're going to enjoy it. They do nothing for us.
Yeah. You know what is so interesting about the president? That he gives one of those rambling speeches like that, but it makes so much sense. And as I was watching it last night, and I watched it live, I watched probably the first half hour to maybe 40 minutes of it, and I was so impressed that it resonates. And you can tell from that crowd, he had that crowd eating out of his hand. It was absolutely incredible. And this is why, you know, when people say, well, people are going to run away, they're not running away. Have you noticed the last few special elections? There was a race to see who could embrace Trump quicker. You look at here in Nevada, and there's a race on to see who's going to be more pro-Trump. I mean, I'm just telling you. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays in the midterms. But people aren't running away from Donald J. Trump. They're running to the president. And that's why, and I'll just tell you, I'm looking at the November elections as a referendum on the president, and I think the president's going to win big. I think he's going to run real big. And that and that this president, when it comes to 2020, it won't just be 63 million. It'll be 65 million, 68 million that vote for Donald J. Trump.
It's time for Nevada Voices.
I'm Craig Mueller, Republican candidate for Attorney General. As I've traveled across all parts of this great state over the last few months, it has become clear to me Nevadans are fed up. They are fed up with being controlled by their government through decree instead of governed by them through consent. They are fed up with over 86% of land controlled by unelected federal bureaucrats who live 2,300 miles away in Washington. They are fed up with seeing the Constitution and our state laws ignored, not enforced. Well, I'm fed up too. That's why I'm running to be your next Attorney General. And when elected, I will file suit against the Bureau of Land Management to get them out of Nevada. Whenever the federal government oversteps its authority, I will push back. I will serve Nevada and the U.S. Constitutions and the people of Nevada, not special interests. But I can't do it without your help. Please go to Craig, the number 4, Nevada.com to learn more about me and how you can support my race. That's Craig, 4, Nevada.com.
Paid for by the committee to elect Craig Mueller.
By the way, if you have not early voted, I urge you to early vote. Early voting began on Saturday. And you're going to have till the 8th of June to early vote. And then it all comes down to June 12th. But don't leave it to June 12th. Make sure you early vote. Get it out of the way. Grab that sample ballot. Make your decisions. And then go to the polls and vote. And just a quick note, and we talked a little bit about it with Chuck Muth. The judges are always so difficult because they don't campaign in the classic sense. But in the judgeship, the Clark County, you know, for the state Supreme Court, Michael Cherry is stepping down. But District Court Judge Alyssa Kadish is running. She's raised $370,000 from January 1 to May 18. Jerry Tao, an appeals judge, is running. The Republicans that we know of are Alan Lefevre. He's raised $45,000. Lyon County District Judge Leon Aberstury has raised $24,000. He's a Republican. Carson City Attorney John Rutledge raised $6,000. Stick around, more to do as we continue live and local now.
I'm Craig Mueller, Republican candidate for Attorney General. As I've traveled across all parts of this great state over the last few months, it has become clear to me Nevadans are fed up. They are fed up with being controlled by their government through decree instead of governed by them through consent. They are fed up with over 86% of land controlled by unelected federal bureaucrats who live 2,300 miles away in Washington. They are fed up with seeing the Constitution and our state laws ignored, not enforced. Well, I'm fed up too. That's why I'm running to be your next Attorney General. And when elected, I will file suit against the Bureau of Land Management to get them out of Nevada. Whenever the federal government oversteps its authority, I will push back. I will serve Nevada and the U.S. Constitutions and the people of Nevada, not special interests. But I can't do it without your help. Please go to Craig, the number 4, Nevada.com to learn more about me and how you can support my race. That's craig4nevada.com. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Craig Mueller.